was everywhere, but I won't.
Please turn your Bibles to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in God, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so far for this message that we've heard. And I pray now that it will be wrapped up according to your will, that we will understand the solution to the problem of sin, and that you will speak through me, and that your Holy Spirit will flow through me, and it will be your words, not my words, that I will just be a vessel, and you will shine through me. Amen. So God is so good, like we heard in the first sermon. Amen. Excellent. And then we heard in the second sermon our condition, our fallen, sinful condition, and how we're supposed to be like God, but we can't, and that we can't fix ourselves. And but praise God that he didn't leave us there in that fallen, sinful condition, because he had a plan to save humanity and to restore us back to what we're supposed to be. Turn back to Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. It's Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then in 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. So God made us in his likeness, as we heard before in the first and second sermon, that we are supposed to be like him. He's perfect in character and love, and we are supposed to be a mere image of that. We're supposed to reflect his likeness. We're supposed to be the image of God. But we can't do that with sin. Turn with me to Romans 5, verse 12. That's Romans 5, verse 12. So we're stuck in sin, and it says, through one man, sin entered the world. That's through Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. And so, through one man, sin has entered the world, and now we're captivated. We're in captivity to it, and we can't escape it. And we're just, it surrounds us, and we can't, like, we just, in Romans, the second scripture reading, says, what I will to do, that's not what I do, and what I don't want to do, that's what I do. In Romans 7, just a couple chapters over, it says in verse 23, but I see another law in my body, in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so we're captive to it, and we can't escape it. But once again, praise God, he didn't leave us there. Paul cried out, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But God, he didn't want to leave us there captivated by sin. And so there's the law of God that he saves us. He sent his son to die for us. He sent his son and he lived the perfect life that we were called to live in Genesis 1, that we're supposed to be in his image and his likeness. He lived the perfect life we're supposed to live, died the death that we deserve. And he died on a cross, said, it is finished, and salvation, the plan of salvation was executed, and we can all be saved. And that's why we come to church, is because we can be saved. It's because we know that God has taken us from the sin into his salvation. But more than just saving us, God wants to perfect us. He wants to get us back to the image and the likeness of God. Because it said, go back to Romans 5. We read that just be through one man sin entered the world. In verse 19, Romans 5, 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. It says in verse 20, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And so through one man, through Adam, we're all sinners. But now through one man who died on the cross, we can all be saved. And we know that, and that's why we come to church, because we know we're saved and we're joyful But more than that, God wants to bring us back to the image of God, and he wants our character to once again reflect him. It's the good news. It's the message. It's the gospel message that Jesus came and he died and he saved us. And it's, the gospel means good news. And notice it's not good advice. It's not something that you should be doing. I heard this quote once by a pastor I watched. It said, advice is not counsel about something that hasn't happened yet, but that you can do something about. But news is a report about something that has happened. Jesus came, lived, and died, which you can't do anything about. You can't change that he died for you. He died for you, and all that you can do is respond to it. All you can say to his salvation plan is, yes, I accept it, and I want to be saved, and I want to be like God, or no, I reject it, and I claim the world. In Jesus' apostles and his disciples, it says news, all you can do is respond to it. They couldn't help but respond to it. The gospel message, it went so far, and it went so viral, and it couldn't be stopped, and it just kept spreading. And in the face of death, Christians said, I believe in God. And they were knowing that they would be sent to the Roman arenas to be killed. When they were facing death, they said, yes, I still believe in Jesus. And they didn't waver. And sometimes we wonder, I've heard people say, well, in the end times or in persecution, or if that happened to me, I could only hope that, you know, I would say, yes, I believe in Jesus. But I don't really know. I mean, I'm so scared, because in your heart, you know, you're scared. But we ask, how did they do it? And how did they die for something? Back in Romans 6, verse 3, says, do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. We were buried with him, died with him in baptism, and then he was raised in newness of life. Continuing on, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And just like in Genesis 1, it says we were made in the likeness of God. Once again, even in likeness of death and likeness of the resurrection, we're still to be like God. It continues on in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to that captivity that sin took over. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died once. He died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. And so we go back to, why did the message go so viral? Why was it spread so fast? Why could they have such assurance and confidence to say, yes, I believe in Jesus, even knowing it would lead to death? And it's because of what we just read, that God had already died the death of sin once and for all, and death no longer had dominion over them, no dominion over him. And if Jesus is living in us, if we died that death in him and we now are resurrected with him, then we should no longer be afraid of death either. I heard a quote that said, you'll be willing to die for something if you're willing to live for it. And those early Christians, that message, Jesus, the disciples, they were willing to live for it. And to live for it, it's kind of hard for us to live perfect sin, to live for Jesus because of sin. Danny said the theme today was our greatest need. And our greatest need is the Holy Spirit to live in us. Amen. Jesus himself, who came and died, the perfect character, the perfect God, Almighty God that we heard in that first sermon, even him, he said, most assuredly I say to you, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus himself said, it's better for you if I leave the earth. And so often we cry out, Jesus, help me. But he said, "If it's better if I leave the earth. Because then I can send my Holy Spirit in you. And he will live through you. And that's our greatest need, is the Holy Spirit. It's the revival that people talk about. It's the born again experience that Jesus told Nicodemus. It's being born again in the Holy Spirit in his life. And when he's living in you, the Holy Spirit. He wants our strength. He wants our soul. He wants our mind. He wants our hearts, it says in Mark 12. And he wants our hearts because he knows that our hearts beat blood and pump blood through our bodies. Our hearts keep us alive and pump life through us. It says in Psalms 40 that the law of God is written on our hearts, and the law of God is a direct reflection. It is the image and likeness of God. So God is written on our hearts. And if God is in our hearts pumping life through us, we can't help but come to church and be praising him. The only part of the service that we can really participate in, everyone can participate in, is song service. And so if you're so filled with God and the Holy Spirit, you should be coming to church and say, look what God's been doing in my life this week. And you come to church and you're singing so loud for him. And this whole building is just filled with praise and love and worship and song for him. That the people up front, they're not prodding you to keep singing and stand up. And because I'm like that too. I mumble through song service and I have to stand. But it should be joyful. If the Holy Spirit's living in you, you should have so much joy. And I'm not talking about drums and a praise band and guitar up here because I'm a teenager, but hymns, anything that's praising God, that we come up here, that we're singing so loud that the house on top of that hill behind us hears it and wants to come down to Granite Bay and worship with us, because there's something different at Granite Bay, and it's that the Holy Spirit, our greatest need, is living in and through us, and that God gives us so much joy and so much spirit and life that we can't help but sing about it, that we can't help, like the early Christians, to tell everyone that we know about him. And as we close the service today, if you want that Holy Spirit, that born-again experience, if you want Jesus to come in and live your strength, your heart, your mind, your soul, to pump life through your veins, to live through you, so you have that joy and that life and spirit, then I invite you to stand. I know there's a closing hymn there. Jesus is calling us to be perfect, just as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And when the Holy Spirit is living through us, he not only wants to save us, but he wants to make us perfect. He wants us to restore us, to redeem us. That's what redemption is, redeem us to that likeness, that image of God, so that we can be like him. And that when we stand before God the Father, he sees his Son being lived through us, through the Holy Spirit. And that he will say, enter into the joy of your Lord. My good and faithful servant.